take me back to earlier this week. You hear your name announced as a Teacher of the Year. What's going through your mind in that moment?
That there must be someone else who had the same name. I've even though I know how hard I work, and I know that it was just, it was possible. I didn't think it was possible. And, you know, we've never really had events that recognize teachers. So you do all this work, and to be recognized is like a fantasy. You never think that's going to happen. So it was like an ultimate moment of fulfillment. Like, it was great. It was great. I think you saw the picture of my son's face. He was just as shocked as I was.
Yeah. So when you accepted the award the other night, you talked a lot about inclusiveness, yes, about working together as vital parts of student success. What does that look like on a day-to-day basis here in Brandywine High School as you're teaching?
Well, I don't think that anyone can identify immediately any student who needs special services, but what it looks like is community wrapped around one child who needs additional support. So I think that's the best way to describe it. We know that there are children that need support, and then inclusion kind of allows two teachers in every room to make sure that every student is having their needs met. And it's a lot. It looks like a marathon because that's really what it is. When it's done effectively, everyone's hands-on.
So is the goal to try to make it as seamless as possible, as not noticeable as possible?
It's not necessarily the goal, but that's just what the function of it is. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of students who need a lot of help. And they may not have special needs, but they may just need extra support. And I think the comfort of having two teachers in the room and following this co-teaching model that we've been doing for years allows students to get their needs met on all levels.
How difficult was it to continue fostering that togetherness, that inclusion during the past year and a half during the pandemic? I imagine that that was not an easy task.
Well, Ms. Walker and I'm going to just say we were really lucky. We had an amazing group of children, and I think that the students that we taught last year were so awesome. Like, we would have complete technological fails. They were like our tech support, and they'd say, try this. But we'd never met them because they were home. So the year really started with kids coming up to you, like, hey, Ms. T, hey, Ms. Walker, and taking off your mask, and you're like, oh, my gosh, it's you from box number 3 up in the right corner. So I think that, interestingly enough, we were all so overwhelmed that we were way more supportive. The students were supportive of the teachers because they're just like, I know it's hard. And we were supportive of our students because we knew it was hard for them as well.
Having said that, how much ground is there to make up based on what you had to overcome the past 2 school years?
So in between the ground to make things up and the ground where we stand are a lot of assumptions. Mm-hmm. We're coming in with these assumptions that, of course, students know how to do this. This is something that they learned early on. Of course you know how to do this. This is something that you learned before. Everyone knows how to behave. And these are things that we are telling ourselves, and then later we have to remind ourselves, this is part of it as well. This is part of it. These are the gaps. You know, these are the things that we're expecting everyone knew. But maybe that wasn't taught until June or March, and we never made it there. So there are gaps, not just academically, which is where we're really focusing. There's social gaps. Like, kids have to learn how to have relationships with each other, how to have relationships with their teachers. So in the beginning, the first couple weeks, we had to focus on really closing the social gaps so that we could kind of create an environment where the learning could take place. And I think they've been pretty okay with catching up. Students, I hate to use the term, are resilient, but for the most part, when they're supported, they're open to learning.
And I imagine, particularly for those who are making the transition from middle school to high school, that's perhaps an even bigger, yes, issue and a bigger hill to climb.
Absolutely. I guess the analogy we've been using is they haven't had normal school since about the 6th grade. So we have a bunch of kids coming in who, one, can't find things, two, are going through hormones, three, are seeing their friends in person for the first time. So a lot of it is building in breaks where we can socialize, building in opportunities where we can be human, and then getting back to the work. But we have to include those breaks, otherwise it just explodes.
So being Teacher of the Year is an opportunity to have a platform to talk about education and education issues. And I imagine as a special education teacher, that's something you're going to want to focus on. Are there specific things about the state of special education in Delaware that you think people need to understand better, or issues that you feel people need to understand need to be addressed?
Absolutely. I guess the best way I could say this is the face of special education isn't always what we think it is. Mm-hmm. You know, we picture beyond cognitive disabilities, we picture physical disabilities, but we never really can see a cognitive disability. So sometimes when these things are masked behind behaviors because students don't feel confident, we forget that we still have to provide that support, and that these behaviors or these other things that we see are because we have a disability that we're trying to hide. And I wish that people would look more at the students who need the support but don't look like they need the support. And we need funding for those kids. We need funding. We need supports where we're providing whatever, the fidget, the technology. They deserve to have books that are adapted to their level. They deserve a lot of things that we don't necessarily look at, because we're always looking at the kids who are the most neediest, or the kids who are the most visibly neediest, or the kids who are way at the top, and we know we want to continue to get them to the top. So those kids that fall right in the middle or below, those are the ones who are missed, and those are the ones that I hope I can advocate for as much as I'm able to.
So was there a teacher that inspired you, or someone who inspired you to pursue teaching, specifically special education teaching?
Specifically special education, I don't know, because my high school was so different. Mm-hmm. Everyone was included except when they weren't. So you didn't know if students were receiving supports. Right. I think it would have been awesome to have two teachers in the classroom. When I think about teachers who inspired me, I think about my high school English teacher. Carmen Mason was her name, and she was insane. And she worked with a bunch of children, and she would see us in the supermarket and quiz us on how to spell miscellaneous and have us recite, you know, Macbeth, Act 5, Scene 5. You know it? You know it? You have bonus points? She would stop you on the street. And it was something about the building of those relationships. And just an appreciation for literature. She's the first person who introduced me to Toni Morrison, to Maya Angelou, and I was just like, oh, I would love to be able to bring this world to my kids. And so that's, I think, why I work primarily with English.
And now on the other end of the spectrum, mm-hmm. what advice would you give to a young person who's interested in getting into teaching, and specifically special education teaching?
Please come. We need change makers. We need people who are really invested in children and who understand that kids are not perfect. This is not a place of perfection. It's a place of progress. And I think that everyone who considers it can be a teacher. The kids in school, this is going to sound strange, but the kids in school who maybe did not fit, who did not maybe make every varsity team or the debate team or any of those things, and they felt awkward, they make the best teachers because they know what those kids need. So I invite everyone who can to come on and teach.
So I have to ask you, you're getting about $10,000 in grants to spend. Have you thought initially about what you want to spend that money on?
So I met with my department. We had our monthly department meeting yesterday, and I said to them, you know, we can get a smart board on wheels and move it around when we need it, or we can think about long-term, what are our students going to need? So what do you think would help you? Do we need to create maybe an internal reward system? Do we want to do something where we have fidgets or a comfortable place when kids need a timeout space, or something that we can do that's going to help all of our students? And we're still thinking about it, but whatever it is, it's going to be for the community.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thank you again.